Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
¡Esa soy yo!
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about Princess Kate. So let's go through some scenarios. Let's say number one, she is ill or recovering until Easter, as stated. She may not look the way that she wants to present, and she posted a picture to buy time. She got caught, and now they're figuring out what to do about that. And they apologize for the edit, whether she did it or someone else. They are acknowledging that the picture was manipulated, which we already knew, not me, but people. And so now she still doesn't want to be seen because of whatever is ailing her. Okay, let's say number two, she has something worse wrong with her, God forbid. And she is in many ways the glowing face of the monarchy. It's not Camilla. It's certainly not Charles. He's not Queen Elizabeth. William doesn't have the same charisma that we saw with Diana, and that the woman in that family seems to be the shining beacon of hope. So let's pretend that she has something worse wrong and they are not ready to say that because King Charles has been ailing also, and they're trying to devise a plan because that, you know, the forward-facing aspect of the monarchy is the monarchy. Let's say that they're having some marital issues or something happened. She has some sort of leverage and she's not willing to do her royal duties until whatever that matter is resolved. Do we feel like we are owed an explanation for what exactly is wrong with her medically, if there is something? Because she's like, you know, it's not like she's the president where she can press the button, but she reflects a stability that people feel when they see the royal family in place. There's a lot of talk about Harry and Meghan remained relatively quiet since they left. It's an interesting time because had they not left, they would be performing the royal duties, but it doesn't seem like they wanted that gig to begin with, or they didn't want that gig in sort of the secondary, more understudy role, but now they would be having the main role, particularly Meghan. So that's an interesting dynamic as well, and I don't know if you can go home again, because I don't know that King Charles would say, hey, come on back in. That's just a spectacle for everyone. That would be frothy and frenzied. The fact remains that the question is, should everybody know everything about anyone in power? Is that what people, well, I would say sign up for, but they didn't even sign up. This is what they were born into. So you're born into that no matter what happens to you, no matter what you feel, no matter what therapy you go through, no matter what medical situation you have, no matter what your reasons are, that you must tell everybody everything. And I think the answer is no, they have so many secrets and they always have. I think the photo was the tipping point because it's been filtered and edited, and then that shows that not everything is what it seems. But I think that not everything is what it seems is obvious, and we're just stupid to think that every picture that we've ever seen has been something that is based in fact. And so that's the problem. We are the problem. It's us. They say he who makes the gold makes the rules, and there is no place with more gold than the royal family. But it is my opinion that it is not he who makes the gold that makes the rules. In the royal family, it is she who wears the gold that makes the rules, because Queen Elizabeth made the rules. Princess Diana was underestimated, but she had a tremendous amount of power. And now if King Charles has experienced illness and it's not Camilla that has any sort of public power, Princess Kate has the heaviest crown of them all. She's the forward-facing, soothing comfort that the public wants and needs. And if anything has been happening in her marriage that is untoward, she has all the power. She has the leverage because she is completely needed. She is something that will calm people's nerves in the absence of the queen. She's a female presence in the monarchy, which is needed. And for whatever reason, it's just not Camilla. She doesn't have the light. She doesn't command the presence. It was Diana. It's unclear whether it was or would have been Meghan had she stayed, which it's clear that she didn't want to. She would have to step in now. But there was no room for, I guess, her to feel as if there was an understudy when Kate was the leading role, or she and Harry just wanted to live their private lives, as they've stated. So either way, Kate has a tremendous amount of leverage and power, and we've never seen that more than now. And just don't ever underestimate women. I guess that's what the last few years have taught us. But this is a very interesting time because she has a lot of power, and I hope she's okay. But in the event that something has happened in their marriage and she just does not want to perform her royal duties, that's going to be an interesting post-nup.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First. And we definitely do. Join us while our host, Vico Ortiz, and our abuelita, Liliana Montenegro, play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as Abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over Abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if Chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita first as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am watching the greatest love story never told, the Jennifer Lopez documentary about the fantasy movie that she made about her relationships. And I'm feeling it. I'm going to say, honestly, I am feeling it. I am connecting to her. I am giving it to her. Like, she is makeup free. She is vanity free. She has illustrated and delineated that J-Lo is a persona and a part of her and who she always wanted to be, but a separate character, if you will, and that Jennifer is who she is. I'm not even sure that she's Jenny from the block. I think she's just Jennifer. And the heartbreak she's experienced, and she's acknowledging that she's flawed. She really is vulnerable about her relationship and leaning into the Ben and her chapter as older people. I'm telling you, this is what happens when you crack 50. This is what happens. Like, you just have to let some things go. You have to be honest about who you really are. You can't just cling on and hold on to things that aren't useful to you. It's just not possible. It's just something, you know, you can talk, you could tell young people, they can't understand until you hit there. It's a rite of passage. And she's hit there, and Ben is hit there. And I'm just, I can't even tell you that when they first got back together, you know, I've met her and I know the people that work with her, but like, I don't know Jennifer Lopez by any means. And from what I know of her, which is very little and just peripheral and outside looking in, but I've seen her without makeup and I've seen her, you know, at her house, and she is really vulnerable, and it's just, I'm believing it. And it's honest. And when she got back together with Jen, like, it was a headline to me, and it was, you know, like many other people, probably an eye roll. Like, but the same thing would go on with me and my relationships in my life. And I actually am relating to her story a lot. You know, we don't know these celebrities, they're personas, and we don't know them. We know them as the lyrics they sing and the image they portray, and they get to portray the image that they want us to receive. They get to serve us what they want to serve us. And here, I don't get the sense that we're being served anything. I get the sense that she had cameras, she took it seriously. She did this $20 million project that she wanted to do from the bottom of her heart. I hope it's done well. I mean, from a curiosity and probably viewing perspective, it's probably done well, but it's an expensive juggernaut and it doesn't matter because she wanted to do it. And this is a documentary about it, but we're getting some slices of her and Ben. And I relate to someone being in your life and like they just don't want any part of the spectacle. But he got into a relationship with Jennifer Lopez and this she's in the spectacle. She's part of the spectacle. I really don't think he wants to go to the Met Gala, but they're going to go together because he's going to support her and she's supporting what he's doing. And I don't know. I'm just saying I'm watching this. I'm seeing her cry and talk about her life and it was heartbreak. And the fact that she got her love back after all these years, I understand why she wants to sing from the goddamn rooftops. Like, that's insane. That's like lightning striking twice. It doesn't happen. So she was madly in love with this guy 20 years ago. And, you know, he was like the bad boy and the gambler and the addict to be. And think about how that worked. He hadn't grown. He hadn't matured. He hadn't become a father. He hadn't become a husband. And he hadn't become 50 either, and that they would get together 20 years later. And I had heard that like they did have connection for all those years, and I'm sure they were both the one that got away, but it was just too much for them to handle. And I really do relate to that. But I just don't relate to getting your love back 20 years later and having this second chance. And so she's like bursting out because who gives a shit about the persona J-Lo and the career and all that stuff. She knows that all of that is amazing and she's accomplished that and she's conquered that and she's made the money. But like what's harder and what's always slipped through her fingers is accomplishing the relationship and the partnership and the bond. And they kind of explained that a lot of people didn't want to be part of her project because, well, some people felt that like it's so precious. Poetically and perfectly, Jane Fonda was resistant and hesitant and really wanted this relationship to work for her. And Jane Fonda is older and wiser than Jennifer. And she realizes that love is precious and hard to find and youth is wasted on the young. And you know, if you find it, cherish it and protect it and don't let it go. And so Jane Fonda seems to not have wanted Jennifer to, you know, tamper with that or exploit that in any way. And I get that because Ben wrote all these letters to her over the years and she had it in a studio and was showing people because she's an expressionist and she's passionate about it and she wants to sing about it and she wants to share it. And she also is that vulnerable little girl that wants us to know she's made it. She also wants us to know she's not, you know, the flawed, hopeless romantic that can't hold a relationship. I fully understand that too. And she doesn't want to seem like a failure. She's a winner in her career, so she doesn't want to seem like a failure in relationship. And the first time she feels like a winner in relationship, she wants to share it. And Ben, you know, he's been through his own journey, and he wants to hold it close to the vest. And he's a writer and a different type of creator and a director and a movie producer who creates quietly and has a different process. The Duncan thing is really fun and he gets to be humorous, but it's not him and it's not about his life and it's not vulnerable. And, you know, it's an extension of being with his boys in the car, you know, on Good Will Hunting. What she's doing is a departure for him, but he has to support her as an artist because that's who he's in a relationship with. And she has to support the fact that he's not comfortable with it because that's who she's in a relationship with. I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I think it's great. I know Elaine. I almost worked on a project with Elaine years ago. I know Benny too. And good for all of them. She honestly has a good support system around her. She's got a team of Teflon around her. And that's really hard to find. And not everyone has that. And I mean, they're like ride or die. They're like in it for the long haul every day. I've definitely never had that. I love her and Ben. So I don't know what I thought or said in the beginning, and I didn't know anything, but I will say that I'm fully team Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck, and I'm into this movie, and I saw the fantasy movie, and now I'm getting the fantasy movie, and it was her passion project, and when she said Purple Rain, that made sense to me too, because she was saying Prince did like his opus, if I were ordering it on a menu, I want more of, I want less of this documentary to be about the making of the fantasy movie. I want to like get that clutter out of the way. And I want to hear more of her talking about her life and her journey and her, like she went there, but she was still a little afraid. She didn't fully go vulnerable about her as a parent, as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister, as a parent, famous kids, you know, more about her and Ben, whatever she's sort of feels comfortable sharing, or just her own experience in relationship and her own experience and the mistakes that she's made and the mistakes that she's made in career and her fears. And I'm interested in that. So I watched the fantasy thing thinking it was going to be the documentary. And now I'm watching the documentary and it's giving me a lot, but I like want the raw. Like we're like, it's now like a raw, slightly polished diamond. But like, I want to see the uncut gem because this is the first time I've connected to, related to, understood and sympathized with empathy for Jennifer Lopez in this way. So I think it's very interesting. And this is definitely a new chapter for her. This certainly is her now. The amount that Jennifer Lopez works is astonishing. At this age, to be putting every ounce and fiber of your being into every choreography, note, casting, wardrobe, makeup. And you know that she's traveling around the world going to different fashion weeks and hanging out with Dolce & Gabbana and doing the Met Gala stairs and being a wife and having kids. I have to say, I can't even believe the level. I don't know how she doesn't fry and burn out. I just did a movie for 14 days and I did one scintilla of what she just did in this movie that she paid $20 million for. And I was like, that's a lot of work. I just, it's not for the faint of heart. This woman is a machine, like a machine, full on. And I'm a machine, different type of machine, but this one is, she's a machine. Facts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? William Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First, and we definitely do. Join us while our host Vico Ortiz and our abuelita Liliana Montenegro play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Woke up still thinking about the Jennifer Lopez documentary, because the part that I didn't talk about was how hard she works and pushes. And I bet people wonder why, like, to what end? You know, you're like a machine pushing, and then people will say things like, you know, life's too short, or it's about family, or it's about love. And when you get older, it doesn't matter how much money you have. And all of these things are true. There's a lot of time. Like, I know it's not a lot of time in the sense that we're getting older, but, you know, in a day, your kids go to school, your everyone's busy, everyone's got families. And sometimes working is like, it's something to do. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, it gives me purpose. It's something to do. If you're not a person who works out as like a hobby, I can't explain it. Like, if you're not a person who works out like as a time filler, and you're not a shopper who shops as a time filler, which I presume someone like Jennifer Lopez is not. She enjoys it, but it's not like that would be something she would do as an activity. Same thing with working out. I don't work out, but she seems like she works out because she wants to be in shape and look good and be able to eat, not like she, you know, wants to be a person that works out and lunches. So then what is there? Your kids have their own lives. You spend time with them. You spend families. But like, you want to have purpose. You want to say something. You have something coming out of you that you want to express. And I really do get that, because I have my most certain identity in work. Like, I know where I'm supposed to be. I know what time I'm supposed to be there. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how I'm supposed to do it well. I can do that. The personal life and like, what do you do otherwise is very hard for me. I'm not very social. And so it's like counterintuitive to just make plans when, even though people say like social connectivity is so critical, I get that. It's just that some people have places where they're more comfortable in their identity. Some people, it is shopping. It's not even talking bad about that. I love to shop on vacation and, you know, don't go to museums as much. And that could be shameful, but it's true. So some people like really are good at like, I'm getting up, I'm going to Pilates, then I'm meeting a friend for lunch, then I'm doing this. I'm just not good at that. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. So everyone has different things that they're good at, you know, or that, not that they're good at, that like makes sense to them. For some people, it's being the mom that's very involved in school activities, you know, like making costumes and sports mom, like the sports kid mom. That's very much someone's identity. Like, that's what they pride themselves on. That's what they're good at. That's where they get validation in some ways. Things like that. Everyone's got, you know, fathers. They're in the midlife crisis and they find purpose in coaching a kids team. You know, some people it's learning a new language. Some people it's starting a new business. Some people it's charity. Everybody it's different. But I understand why Jennifer Lopez chooses to work so hard and to keep pushing. And I think that that documentary kind of showed that. And the fact that she did that project to a 25 out of 10 shows that it doesn't matter. If she's doing it, she's doing it, which I relate to also. I never related to her as much as after seeing that documentary, because it's like, we're doing it. I always say, if we're going, we're going. If we're not going, we're sleeping. And when she was like, I'm doing nothing all weekend, she meant it. Like, she meant she was laying down, dissolving. And then she was going right back there and getting herself exhausted again. I really relate to that, because I know where my identity is when I'm supposed to be somewhere for work. And I get excited sometimes when I'm asked to do something for work, because it means I'm going to leave my house and go somewhere. The greatest love story ever told is the documentary. This Is Me Now is her album, and that like fantasy portrayal of it. And I would rather have had the greatest love story ever told not called that. I would have it have been Jennifer Lopez on finding love, on finding true love. But the message was there. I want to see more of Jennifer and less of Jennifer doing a movie about her album. Also, it's funny because in the documentary, she's saying like, if it doesn't do well, then, you know, she was taking a chance. She was basically saying, I'm going for it. And I'm taking the chance, and it may bomb and it may succeed. And what's funny is I don't even know in 2023 if you can know what bombs and what succeeds. She's Jennifer Lopez. So even if a lot of people are talking about it, it's kind of a success. Like, and it's about the bottom line in many ways. And if she was, she made money on it, which she did sell it, then it's a success. So she sold it. I don't know how much she sold it for, because they say it cost her $20 million. Well, what if she sold it? What if she sold it for $5 million or even $10 million? But she got the promotion for the album. So I'm sure it wasn't a failure. At the very least, it was probably a break even. There was a L'Oreal mascara ad by an influencer, and it got panned in many ways, but so many people came to the ad, over 50 million people, and it was viral, that it was a success because people know about the mascara. So success and failure are friends now, because you can get, I bet you more people know who Jay Shetty is than they ever did before, even though he's kind of being canceled. But it seems like he's just on his page posting as if it's normal. So I don't even know if it matters.
Buena, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo.
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids.
Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.